pastoring a young adult congregation. I remember actually still thinking, like, just basically drafting what, you know, if we had a blank slate, what would a campus look like? If we could just design anything, and really, really asking God. I remember the piece of paper that I had with all my brainstorming ideas at the top. It just said, out, 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 as in not in anymore. We're done with the in. It's great to be here and, like, have our powwow session on Sundays and get together and know each other really well. But let's go out. Let's do things. Let's meet people. Let's be interesting. Right? So we're really excited that the Catch the Fire, the greater family, is actually really kind of catching this as well. It's kind of like it's viral now. So we're very excited, and it actually won't be too much of a jump, especially for our campus. I think that's already in the heart of most everybody who attends. So we're very excited about that. Just so that you know, that was Steve Long. If anybody doesn't know who Steve Long is, he's the senior pastor. Him and his wife, Sandra Long, are the senior pastors of Catch the Fire Toronto. I don't know if everybody knew that. So these are the 10 campuses that we have. Of course, the one in the bottom left is the best. And that's basically our family tree. They all kind of started within the past 5 years or so. All of a sudden, we're like all these campuses. So what we're going to be doing in January is we're going to be breaking down this Love Our City theme into four talks. So I'll be doing the first one this week on God's Heart for Cities. Steve Long is actually going to be here next week. So bring yourself and bring your friends. And he's going to be speaking on God's Heart for Peace and Prosperity in Our Cities. And then 3 and 4 will conclude the month of January. So just to let you know what's coming up, generally we finish talking at 12, which means I have minus 47 seconds. But don't worry, I'll make this fast. Who is Toronto? This is kind of what I wanted to talk about today, because I was really glad actually that I got this topic to talk about. I love cities in general. It took me a little while to actually love my particular city, but I did always love cities. I loved seeing other cities, meeting other cities, more importantly. And what God started to work in my heart actually while I was in Korea, I taught English in Korea for a year. And while I was over there, I was kind of traveling again. Some of you know from my workshop at Heavy Rain recently. I was traveling, having a blast, meeting lots of people. And God actually spoke to me through Batman Begins, which was coming out around the same time. I saw it in theaters, and I was like, that's awesome. I was going to call him Christian Bale. It's not Christian Slater at all. And I was like, that's an awesome movie. And as I left, I felt like God was just like, you know when God just uses popular culture to just get in your brain, and you can't take him out, and you're like, but it's a Batman movie. I went there for entertainment. Now you're talking to me about serious things. And he said, if you've seen the movie Batman Begins, of course, Bruce Wayne, born and raised in Gotham, didn't like it anymore. Rejected his heritage, rejected his family name, and decided to go away and didn't ever want to go back. And the whole movie is basically him returning to Gotham because he knows all the ugly bits, he knows all the great bits, he knows the potential of his city, and he has to go back basically to save it. And God kept saying to me, and he's like, Toronto is your Gotham, Toronto is your Gotham, Toronto is your Gotham, Toronto is your Gotham. Now, I don't believe that I am Batman. Don't worry. There's a door if you think that my theology is off. I'm not Batman. I'm not Batman. Woman, girl thing. I just knew at that moment, I'm like, I just could, it was so catchy too. I was just like, Gotham. I started to spread it to some of my friends, just the idea of it. And then obnoxiously enough, they were calling it Gotham. They're like, when are you going to come back to Gotham? When are you going to come? And every time it was like this reminder that God was saying, absolutely, see the world. There's nothing wrong with travel, but I've actually called you somebody who was born and bred in Toronto, which is rare, as Steve was saying, like, what was it? Two out of every three adults weren't born in Toronto. So Toronto's like ever changing. There are very few people who actually know it very well, and I do. And I think I got bored of it. I wanted to escape. And I know that big cities can sometimes have that harsh mentality. You know, you go in, you're like, well, I have a job, I'll stick it out for a while, but eventually I want to flee. And there's nothing wrong with the country. I don't want to be like country bashing up here, although sometimes I can get on my little tangent. But what I do feel is, if God has called you for this particular time to be in this particular city, let's figure out why. For the next foreseeable future, unless he calls you somewhere else to be somewhere else, let's figure out why you're in Toronto. And God started to talk to me about this. Who is Toronto? Because often you'd be like, oh, what type of a city is it? It's a thing, right? A city is a thing. And God started to say, well, I have a heart for people. I wouldn't say, what type of a thing is Sam? What type of a thing is Aaron? I'd be like, no, it's a person. They have characteristics. They have personalities. They're kind, or they're funny, or they're gentle, or they're giving. And he started to say, basically, cities have personalities too. So when you go to a city, Sarah, instead of just visiting, taking some pictures and going home, why don't you actually meet the city? Ask yourself questions like, well, what type of a, if it was personified by a character, what type of a character would it be? So this started me thinking about cities that I was visiting, like London and Bangkok and Amsterdam. I mean, Amsterdam was a huge one that God really put on my heart because, of course, before going there, I was like, oh, Amsterdam, you know, red light district and the drugs and, oh, it's such a blah, blah, blah. I got off the train and I'm like, it is a gorgeous city. It's honestly, even now, after all the travel that I've done, it's still the most beautiful city I've ever seen. Now, I have not yet been to Italy, so we shall see. But I did like, Amsterdam was gorgeous, and by the time we actually, I was traveling with a group of YWAMers, by the time we, you know, we actually did a prayer walk through the red light district. The girls separated from the boys went to a different district of the city, and the girls went through the red light district. And we were praying, by the time I got to the red light district, you know, that really, sadly, in church context, that's all I had ever heard of Amsterdam. It had just been slimed. By the time I saw it, I had already fallen in love and met with Amsterdam on such a personal level that its red light district was like finding out like a really good friend had a serious illness. But it didn't make me love it any less. It didn't make me love it any, it didn't make me look at it in a different way. Like, oh, it's a bad city, you know, with a bring down curses, you know, from heaven on it. I was like, oh my gosh, it breaks my heart for you, Amsterdam, you person. And so when I came back to Toronto, it did make an easier transition for me because I thought, well, if Toronto is a person, what type of a person is it? I started to think about nationwide. What does the nation of Canada think of Toronto? I kind of laugh because my grandfather has a couple of jokes because he often, when he goes traveling, he says, I'm from the city that the rest of Canada hates. And they're all like, Toronto, you're from Toronto. They can guess. It kind of has that firstborn mentality, doesn't it? It kind of has lots of money. It's like taking a lot of the money from the rest of the country, I'm sure. It gets a lot of attention, gets a lot of media attention. It's a little boisterous. I'd say that it's very successful. It's a little bit cocky. It's kind of hard on the outside, but soft on the inside. Isn't it, Toronto? A lot of people who come to Toronto, they're like, ah, it's gray, it's bleak. It's kind of, you know, like Bay Street, and it's a little like, it's a little hard-nosed. And then once you actually get to know it, then you find like Little Italy. You find like college, little streets and little pockets of area. Rawtonsfields is a perfect example of that. It's sweet on the inside. It has this like warmth to it that only after you meet it, it might not necessarily give off the best first impression, but after you meet it and after you live there for a while, you find that you actually can fall in love with it. It has quirks. It has faults. Think of this in your own mind, your area of Toronto, of the city. And I'm seeing Toronto as in the GTA, but I think the majority of us, not all of us, the majority of us live actually in the city of Toronto. Think of its perceptions, how it perceives other things or how it itself is perceived. Its innovations. We have some of the best hospitals in the country. Our film industry is amazing. I'd say that our media in general is actually really amazing. Our research and development is like amazing from here. Our writing, our universities, all those kind of areas. And we also have bad habits, I'd say. You know, if you met a person, you found out that they smoked, you wouldn't be like, wow, I'm never gonna hang out with you again, hopefully. I mean, if you do, we can talk later. But it's a little judgmental. But if you found out that someone had a bad habit, I mean, we do have a bad habit. I'm pretty sure we're putting out probably the most pollutants in the rest, like from the rest of the country, in the whole country. We have some bad habits, but what are we doing as inhabitants of this city to help that situation instead of just pointing a finger? And what, most importantly, is Toronto's potential? When you meet a person, hopefully, if you have God's heart in you and you're seeing through his eyes, you're not just meeting someone and saying, you know, you're a project I need to fix, or you're past fixing, I can't hang out with you anymore. No, you look at them and you're like, I can totally see the potential in you. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, so you have some issues. That's fine. Whatever. I can see you as the leader you're supposed to be. I can see you as the physician you're supposed to be. I can see you as the creative director you're supposed to be. We see that potential in people. And for some reason, sometimes we discount cities. And I feel like if we take on that mentality that cities are people too, then we might actually be a little bit softer towards a city that we live in. And other cities that we run into along the way. Here are some facts and figures, mostly just because I found them interesting. In 1800, only 3% of the world's population lived in cities. This is because it was mainly an agricultural society, so people lived on farms. In 2006, 50% of the population lived in cities, and by 2030, every time I project into the future, we're all wearing silver suits and helmets and stuff. Anyway, 2030, 65%. Next. 68% of Canadians live in a city. 96%, that's a lot, of the visible minority population of Canada live in a city. That's amazing. That also means that if you're in the country, one of my friends, I can't remember who it was, but basically somebody who kind of lives in the sticks, and they're like, yeah, we had one black person that we knew, my entire life. There's just, and really, because there are better opportunities in cities for jobs, for employment, for community. I mean, there's a greater chance if you are coming as an immigrant from Pakistan, for example, that you can move into an area with a bunch of other people who understand what you're going through because they might have just done it recently, which is great. It's community. And one out of every four immigrants to Canada comes to Toronto. So we're like this hub of activity, this hub of different people. How many of you guys have seen the movie Crash about LA? I can't necessarily recommend it because I don't know the rating on it, but I have seen it. And it's about LA, and it's about a lot of the strife and the conflict that happens within big cities, especially to do with race. And I remember watching it while I was in Korea with a bunch of other friends. One other friend was Canadian. The rest were from England, New Zealand, and the States. And my one friend who was from actually California at one point in his life, he was like, oh, that's so LA, you know, that we just have so many problems. It's so racially tense there. And I was like, I honestly had to take a moment to be like, oh yeah, we do have races in Toronto. I don't think of it. There's something, I know we have tension in Toronto. I would say that a lot of the violence and the tension that we're starting to see is kind of, you know, groups pitted against each other. I'd say that really in comparison, it is very, very low on the scale of racially tense environments. So again, as a Torontonian born and bred, I don't think of it when I'm on the subway and it's packed. You basically have the entire world crammed into a subway or crammed into a business. I don't think about those kind of things. I think we're really blessed in Toronto to be able to be colorblind, to not think about it. It's just it takes an extra step for me to be like, oh yeah, we're not of the same race, but who cares? Which is really beautiful. I really, really like that. And I appreciate that about Toronto. The GTA has the highest proportion of visible minorities in the city area, of any city area in Canada, and Vancouver is number two. That's a very Torontonian statistic there. We're number one! We're winning. Take that, Vancouver. There are over 200 distinct ethnic groups in Toronto, and that makes us, I did not know this, the most multicultural city in the world, slightly ahead of London. Number one. Take that, London! I can really relate with Toronto because I'm firstborn and a bit of a type A personality, and sometimes I'm like, yeah, Toronto, you and me, I understand your pain. This is where the scripture basically that Steve Long was quoting earlier for the Love Our City campaign comes from Jeremiah 29 verses 4 through 7. So we're just going to read it together and then we're going to kind of go through it a little bit. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel says. Okay, wait, no, pause. I just realized I have to rewind a little bit. So this is taken not necessarily out of context. I'll give you the context and then it won't be out of context. God is talking through the prophet Jeremiah to Israel, who of course is meant to live in Israel, but they weren't at the time. Many Israelites were living in Babylon. They were in exile and they were kind of bummed about that, obviously. It was like if somebody took you out of Toronto or out of wherever you live and just threw you into another town, another country. You don't know the culture, you don't know the language, and people are kind of mean to you, especially. And so what Jeremiah the prophet is saying with God's spirit speaking through him is, don't give up. Wherever you are is where you are. And there's a reason for that. So this is kind of the context. And yes, it is Old Testament. And yes, it is talking to the Israelites under very different circumstances. But the reason that Catch the Fire in general, and the reason why Andrew and I as pastors of this church are taking these scriptures for ourselves and adapting them, is because the same is true for us today. Right? So you're not in Babylon, no. But put your little translator thingy in and figure out how this applies to you, because I really feel like it does. Ask Holy Spirit to start to unpack this for you. So this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and settle down. Selah. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage so they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there, do not decrease. Woohoo. Also, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. So this was the verses basically that Steve was quoting from earlier. Now I took verse 5, 6, and 7 and I just broke them down. We're going to go through them very quickly, but I pulled out some words that I needed to take them out of context even for myself, so I wasn't just thinking Israel and Babylon, I was really thinking Sarah and Toronto. So make this personal. And I really love the words that God highlighted for me. So in this first verse, build houses and settle down, plant gardens and eat what they produce. Of course, we might not necessarily be building houses with our own hands. I have never done that. My father has, right? An entire house? Well, parts of it anyway. I've never built a house. I don't know how. But the verbs that Holy Spirit was starting to pull out of this verse are like build, make a home. Home can be anything. Home can be a rented apartment if it's really truly your home. If you're just sitting there for a while complaining about the landlord, complaining about the living conditions and just waiting, just asking God for the moment where you can switch to the next apartment or you can go on to something else or you can move out of this stupid city, then you don't have the right heart. People who come to visit your home won't feel like it's a home. They'll feel like it's a bit of a cell that you're waiting to finish out your sentence before you get to go on to something else, right? Make it a home. Settle. This is very hard for young adults to do. I was very guilty. Still am sometimes, is that I don't feel like settling. I feel like, you know, moving on to the next thing. When's my next goal? What's my next change? Change, 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 change. And God's saying, yeah, absolutely. Like, I don't want you to feel stagnant, but I do want you to settle. Not just because he wants you to, you know, like settle down, like a parent. Settle down. Put that down. I feel like he's saying the reason that we settle is so that good things can come out of us. Only certain things can come from us when we're being still, right? If you keep transplanting a tree, it's not going to grow very well. It will probably die. Plant things. Plant ideas. Plant creative ideas. Grow. Nourish. That means nourish yourself and nourish other people. And produce. Produce things. In the message, it says, make yourselves at home. Doesn't that sound good? And eat what grows in that country. That even means in your brain. So instead of constantly thinking about, you know, where you came from or where you're next going to go to, start to like just think upon the things that are around you right now in the here and now. Here's the next one. Marry and have sons and daughters. So a lot of people are like, yeah, yeah, yeah. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number, do not decrease. But this is important. This is very, very important, because remember, the Israelites are in exile, surrounded by people they don't like. And God's like, chill out, carry on. Keep calm, carry on. He's saying, get married. So he's saying, relate. Relate to people. Be in relationship with each other. Don't be an island unto yourself, you know, independent and being like, oh, I just got to take care of my own stuff. He's like, no, share with each other. Multiply. Multiply yourselves, yes, physically. Multiply yourselves, like, symbolically as well. Start small groups. Be in small groups. Take what you've been given in terms of revelation and pass it on to other people, because then there's more of it. It's mine, but you can have some. With you, I'd like to share it. Anyone? Because if I share it with you, you'll have some too. Mingle, increase, get bigger. Recently, we've been talking about, you know, how God is so big, or the universe is so big, or love is so big. And we've just translated that now as fat. So we're like, God is so fat. It's so great. It's just so fat. Everything's just so fat. But it's true. He's just saying, like, get bigger. Start, like, take over. Don't have a small mindset. You know, I just need to protect myself in this city. I just have to, you know, like, shut down. And, oh, and the you know, like, the media is bad, and things that I'm seeing are bad, and the music is evil, and everything's evil. I have to shut myself down. He's saying, no, greater is me that is in you than he who's in the world anyway. So stop thinking small. Start thinking fat. Go take over. Go do things. Build a legacy. This is huge. I was reading a book recently, and I just love this quote. They're talking about a character in this one quote who is just kind of a bit of a dunce. We'll just call him a bit of a dunce. He lives in London, but he's just kind of very small-minded. And this quote just made me laugh so hard. He believed in sudden conversion, things happening instantly. A belief which might be right, but which is peculiarly attractive to half-baked minds. Of a heritage that might expand gradually, he had no conception. And I just love that. It was like, some things are instantaneous, and some things take time. Think about family. Start to think about, okay, absolutely, when you do move on from this city, if you do move on from the city, what are you leaving behind? Are you leaving behind a small group? Are you leaving behind friends who can actually take on your ideas and go further with them? Are you leaving behind a family? Or are you just thinking about you? I, me, myself, and I. And be intentional. That's what I love about this. In order to marry, you have to be intentional. It doesn't happen by accident. You're not like, oh my gosh, I have a husband. How did that happen? Who put him here? It's not accidental. It's intentional. It means that you're going out and looking for opportunities to actually mingle and be a part of your environment. And this, also seek the peace and prosperity of the city. In the message, it says, work for the country's welfare. Not just your own welfare. And in the Amplified, it says, seek, inquire for, require, and request the peace and the welfare of the city. Require the peace for the city. I require that of you, God. I don't see peace in this area. I am demanding that peace come to this area. Isn't that so much more powerful? Instead of like, dear Lord, please protect me in this horrible city. Amen. It's like, no, if I see a problem, if God is irking you about something, and trust me, it is God. It's God working through you. So I hear a lot of people saying, and I myself might have been one of them, that you might not like a particular politician, or you might not like a particular law that's been passed, or the way that things are happening. Well, if you've noticed it, Andrew and I are often saying, if you've noticed it, then what are you doing about it? If you notice, you're responsible. Well, there might not be too much that I can do about a law being passed, but I can deal with the implications of that law. So all of a sudden it starts to make us a lot more responsible for what we see around us, including and especially the things that are kind of bugging us. Instead of complaining, well, there's a reason you've noticed it and someone else hasn't. What are you going to do about it? I love this. Be diplomatic. If there's strife, if there's arguments within your workplace or even within a community, like people being like, well, I absolutely can't stand those hooligans. You know, those skateboarders are coming and they're ruining everything. Well, what are you going to do about it? Are you just going to be like, absolutely, I'm going to jump on that bandwagon and hate them just as much as the next guy? Well, there's a reason that we're here, and there's a reason that we're bringing peace to our area. We're diplomatic. We're bringing diplomacy. We are the peacemakers. And prosper. That means financially. That means in every area. It means praying as you're walking to work, as you're walking to school. Invest. Invest in small businesses. Invest in big businesses. Invest. Identify with. This is pretty big, actually, because God is saying, if Babylon prospers, you too, Israel, will prosper. If this, basically, Old Testament thinking, if this heathen, backwards, idol-loving, evil society prospers, you too, as the God-fearing good people, will also prosper. This must have been a bit of a juggle for them to go through, because they were like, but evil them, good us. And he's like, no, you're actually tied together. We really like this game called Killer Bunnies. Anyone play Killer Bunnies? Anyway, there's one card where you can basically tie the destinies of two cards together. So whatever happens to one, it happens to the other one. So if you kill this guy, you also kill this guy. You know what I mean? And I felt like God was saying, like, tie yourself to the destiny of Toronto. Don't be apart from it thinking, well, if that ship sinks, I'll just jump ship and go to the next thing. Well, no, tie yourself to it. Be a part of it. integrate yourself with it and envision yourself for it. Because right afterwards, we know these verses quite well, and we can recite them, I'm sure, by heart. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come to me and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and you will find me when you seek me with all your heart, and I will be found by you. And I feel like there are pockets of the city, there are pockets of our everyday lives where God is not hiding to be not found by you, but he's hiding because no one's discovered him there yet. And I don't mean God is like actually hiding in a little fetal position around the corner, but I feel like there are pockets of Holy Spirit hidden like a treasure hunt. In and around the city, that we have yet to unlock them. And as we go about our business being negative and naysayers and deciding, you know, like this is bad and that's bad and I don't like that and that politician and God help us in this city, I feel like those areas are just being locked up. And we're the ones who have the keys. Actually, if anybody's going to be positive in this environment, we are. And if we're not, then really God help us. Right? We should be the ones going around being like, has anybody ever noticed this plot of ground over here? Has anyone thought of doing a community garden? No, seriously? I'm the first one who's thought of that. And it might even be something really simple that you're like, well, let's do it then. Anybody with me? And you'll find that 50 people are. And this is the type of stuff that is actually going to get us excited about the future wherever we are and carry this around with you for the rest of your life, no matter what city God has put you in or country God has put you in. And I feel like over the next couple of weeks, as we start to delve into this, I want for us, my heart is really for us to start to think about Toronto as a person and how we can help her in whatever area she needs help most in. And the good thing about the fact that we are all individuals and we all have our own perspectives is we'll all see a different side of the elephant, so to speak. We'll all be aware of an area that might be a little bit different than someone else. And we're like, well, did anybody ever notice that this issue is going around here? I think I have a solution. And don't doubt yourself. Trust that the solution that you've been given isn't a crap one. It's actually one that has a lot of potential in it, and you can help Toronto in that area where she really needs you. So let's close our eyes. Holy Spirit, we are excited to help our friend. We're excited to understand Toronto better. We're excited to be a part of this plan that you have for her, Father, this hope and a future that you've called us to and you've called Toronto to as well. And I pray that in the next couple of weeks that you will really reveal to us the ideas that are already there, that we don't need to struggle or strive to try to make things better, but God, that you will just unfold them like a flower, like they would just bloom in front of us and we would notice them and say, well, I can help. Let me be part of the solution, Father, instead of just part of the pessimism that's so pervasive in a city. God, I pray that we would be woken up in the middle of the night to pray for Toronto. Father, as we're walking around, that we would actually start to see our prayers be answered physically, in the physical, that we would notice things are actually changing. Father, we pray for this area right now in the name of Jesus. I bless Roncesvalles. I bless High Park. I bless Bloor West Village and the Junction and Liberty Village and Parkdale. Father, we're part of this area and we tie our destinies to this area. And we say, if it prospers, we prosper. And any portion that you have placed in our heart of prosperity or success, we also want to give to her in any area that we can, in Jesus' name. Amen. I love you guys. We now literally have 3 minutes to get out of the building. Well, no, not really. Probably five. Closer to five. Sorry, it was just because it went a little bit later. So with that in mind, why don't we go to lunch in an area that we love, a restaurant that we like, and we can patronize the small businesses in this area. Amen. See you next week. Steve Long's coming next week. Come back. I mean, next week.
Things like moving on me. It was like. Thanks for singing this morning.